Wow, it's so quiet in here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. It is a good morning. Before I even start, I just want to appreciate our worship team this morning. How many of you appreciate them? Let's give them a hand of appreciation. You know, there's something about the spirit and the atmosphere that they help set for us that makes it so much easier to come up here. And no matter how we come in the morning, by the time they're done, for me, my spirit is already lifted. So we appreciate you guys and we say thank you. We have a word from the Lord this morning, and we've already prayed. What time is it? Is from the Old Testament, and while thinking about what to speak today, those of you who are regular comers here know that we had a little change up, which is fine. God is a God of changes. He's a God of surprises sometimes, which is a good thing. But this was a word that I gave probably 10, 12 years ago. And while meditating and studying, I said, well, you know, we will start with this and add what God has put on my heart this morning. The text this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter number 30, beginning at verse 1. 1 Samuel 30, beginning at verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 5, and David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. The King James Version, I just read from the New King James, the King James Version says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And we will use this passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 6. And meditate on the subject, God is still God. God is still God. According to Webster's, the word strengthen means, obviously, to make stronger or to become stronger. While encourage means to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope, to attempt to persuade, to spur on, to give help or patronage to. Filled with courage or strength of purpose. And I like this, suggests the raising of one's confidence, especially by an external agent. So we see here that this account takes place at a very interesting time in the life of David. Those of you who have studied the Bible and studied David know that he's a very, very interesting character. He was at this point of his life in a transition period because he had already been chosen at this point as the next king of Israel and was going through some preparatory stages prior to him ascending the throne. A lot of us, especially in the world, in the culture in which we live today, like to skip the preparation. We think everything should be instant. Why, if I've already been named king, can't I go sit on my throne right now? After all, it's mine. It's my money, and I need it now. But God has a way of taking us through stuff, of molding and shaping and training and teaching and encouraging us so that when we take the place that he's purposed for us to take, we will be better prepared to face the challenges that we will inevitably face when we reach that place. We go all the way back to Abraham and Moses. I mean, 40 years of preparation. Most of us would have given up. But God has a purpose in doing all this. We sang this song just now. You got to go through the desert. You got to go through the fire. You got to go through the storm before you come to the harvest. Amen? So he was going through this time of preparation. Because the reason God wants to prepare us before we take the place and embark upon the task that he's called us to is that he's not a God of failure. Amen? And when we are representing him, he does not set us up to fail. No, he doesn't set us up to fail because he's not a God of failure. So David was at this point going through some preparation that was necessary for him before he ascended to the throne of Israel. So he had fled from Saul because Saul was pursuing him to destroy him, to kill him. And he had gone into the land of the Philistines. Sometimes to flee is the right thing to do. Fleeing is not always a sign of surrender or a sign of weakness. Is it a sign that there's more preparation that I need in order to face the enemy, to face the challenges, to face whatever it is that I'm facing? When Jesus walked this earth, we read in the Gospels that sometimes he went away from everyone by himself. Amen? It doesn't mean he didn't like people. He loved with the crowds. But sometimes you just got to get away and recharge. and meditate and study and pray and get more direction from God. So he had gone into the land of the Philistines. Now, we remember that even at this point, David had had more than one opportunity to kill Saul, but had not done so. He hadn't done so. That was not the plan of God at that time. So fleeing did not mean he was weak, but that his time had not yet come. See, God is a God that's 100% of the time on time. Amen? His time doesn't always mesh with our time. We're always in a hurry. We want it here and now. His time is always perfect timing. He's never too early, and he's never too late. Yes, sometimes he'll stretch us just to the breaking point, but then he'll show up and bring us through. I'm a witness to that, so I know all of us have a testimony this morning. But his time had not yet come. David fled with 600 men and was given the town of Ziklag to settle in. He dwelt there for 16 months and fought many battles. Now, here's an interesting thing. While his hosts thought he was fighting for them, he was actually fighting against the enemies of Israel. Now, they may have been one and the same. You know the story, the enemy of your enemy is my friend, or something to that effect. He was actually fighting against the enemies of Israel while he lived among these people. And therefore, as God was preparing him, he had gained valuable experience during this time that would better prepare him for ascending to the throne of Israel. However, there came a time when he had to leave the land of the Philistines. So we go back to verse 6, and then we'll look at several points this morning. Verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Now I find this very interesting. The word soul here is a singular, and was instead of were means that it was a unanimous thing. He had no allies at that time. Everybody, it was him against everyone else. For every man, for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You see, sometimes we reach a certain point that those we've been depending on to lift us up when we're down, to encourage us when we're discouraged, to speak words of comfort to us when we're going through troubles, will let us down. Sometimes not out of malice or anything. Sometimes they just got their own stuff to deal with. And sometimes what's burdening them is an even heavier burden than what's burdening us. But when we're going through stuff, don't know about you, but we're not thinking about what's bothering other people. Amen? We're wrapped up around our own situation. Who can I turn to? How can I approach this situation? And sometimes we even reach the point where we think, hopefully just briefly, that even God may have abandoned us. But his word says that he will never, repeat, never leave us or forsake us. And that nothing whatsoever can separate us from his love. Amen? So the first thing we're going to look at, why was David able to encourage or strengthen himself in the Lord? Number one, he had an intimate relationship with the Lord his God. See, that's where it all starts. We know that he was by no means perfect. But even with all his imperfections, he had an intimate relationship with the Lord his God. And that's why every time he fell, he sinned, he was able to boldly come back to God and confess and ask forgiveness. He knew God, and God knew him. And he knew without the shadow of a doubt that he was on God's side and God was on his side. Oh, I hope some of us could have such an assurance today that no matter come hell or high water, no matter how the winds may blow or the storms may come into our lives, our knowledge and our faith will remain strong and grounded and rooted in the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And nothing can separate us from him. So David had an intimate relationship. So he knew the God that he served. He communed with him. He spent time in prayer with his God. And that's the first reason that he was able to encourage himself. Because you see, the scripture says, not that just he strengthened himself. No, because he had no strength at that time to strengthen himself. But what? He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. That's the key. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. And he was able to do that because of the intimate relationship he had with God. The second reason he was able to encourage or strengthen himself in the Lord his God is he knew where the Lord his God had brought him from. He knew where God had brought him from. He knew what God had brought him through. That's another problem with folks, not only today, but all through history. We are quick to forget what God has already proven himself by bringing us through. We're too quick to forget. Oh, we rejoice for a moment. And then as soon as the next storm hits, we begin to cry and moan and wonder, God, where are you? And he's telling us, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here. Remember what I've already brought you through? I mean, think of it. The children of Israel are slaves in Egypt. Slaves, with all that word entails, less than humans. And God miraculously brings them out and rescues them. And then as soon as they have a little hardship in the wilderness, they begin to cry and said, we were better off as slaves. So it's nothing new for us to forget what God has brought us through. When we thought we couldn't make our rent payment, and then something happened and miraculously we were able to. Or our child was sick, or our spouse was sick, or whatever the situation is. God has brought us through so much, and God had brought David through so many situations. But the difference is, David attributed those victories and those successes to the God he knew very well. Amen? He didn't think it was just a coincidence, or he was just lucky. He knew where his God had brought him from. Very closely related to that, point number three, he knew the power of the Lord God in his life. He knew the power of the Lord God in his life. What is the power of the Lord God? The power of God can take nothing and make it something. Amen. The power of God can take what was broken and recreate it into something that's beautiful and purposeful. The power of God can take something that was lost and make it found again. Yeah, the power of God can open blind eyes and make the lame walk. Yes, the power of God can heal a sin-sick soul, can save someone from eternal damnation, and translate us to a destiny of eternal life. That's what the power of God can do. And the passage says that David knew the power of God in his life. And that's why he was able to strengthen or encourage himself in the Lord, his God. He knew it was not his own strength, but the strength of the Lord in his life. And number four, about why he was able to encourage or strengthen himself in the Lord, he knew his destiny and the purpose God had for his life. He knew his destiny, he knew his calling, and he knew the purpose that God had placed on him for his life. You see, when we don't have a doubt, when we're not wavering or shaking, when we don't just believe that, oh, we're saved and all is good and well, and I'm just going my merry way. When we know that God saved us for a reason, He called us for a reason. And he has a specific plan and purpose and destiny for each and every one of us sitting here this morning. And when we know that without a shadow of a doubt, suddenly things that come across our way tend to have a different perspective. Amen? You see, the Cascade Mountains look very intimidating when you're driving on I-90 going west. But suddenly, when you're flying between here and SeaTac, they don't look all that intimidating. They look pretty small, actually, because you have a different perspective. So when we know the purpose of God in our lives, we don't allow any wind or any temptation or any trial or any tribulation or any threats from people to abandon us or to stone us or to do anything to us to stand in the way of us accomplishing the purpose for God in our lives. The word says he's bought us with a price. Amen? And saved us for a reason. Each and every one of us has a calling on our lives to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. So when we find ourselves facing obstacles, let's remember where God has already brought us from. Let's remember our intimate relationship with him. Realize the power of God in our lives and remember that he's called us and saved us for a purpose. So we see why David was able to encourage himself in the Lord or strengthen himself. So we look at how was David able to encourage himself in the Lord his God. He constantly praised and worshiped God and sought his face and his will. You see, we read this account and everything looked bleak. Everything looked bleak. I mean, it was a dark moment. And many of us have faced such dark moments in our lives, probably nothing as dramatic as this. But there's something that happens when we lift our voices to praise our God and to worship him. The word says we should give him thanks in what? In everything. Thessalonians, we give thanks in everything. And everything means what? Everything. Thanks for the good, thanks for the bad. Because guess what? The bad is never meant to destroy us. It's meant to strengthen us. We read of the Paul's account in the jail. There is no time that is a bad time to worship God. Amen? I repeat, there is no time that is a bad time to worship God. It's easy to worship him when things go good. It's much harder to worship him when we're going through stuff. Let's be real this morning. It's much harder, but that's what he's called us to do. And I submit to you this morning that a lot of times that's where our breakthrough comes. That in spite of our circumstances, in spite of the storms blowing around us, we still realize and recognize the God that we serve, and we're able to lift up our voices and worship Him. Excuse me. So David praised and worshiped God, sought His face and His will. So we see the why, we see the how. Now we look at the when. When was David able to strengthen himself in the Lord his God? David was able to encourage himself in the Lord, whether he was on the highest mountain or in the deepest valley. Excuse me. You see, it doesn't matter what we go through. If we have the mindset that God is there with us, that God is still God and we are still His child, then we're able. Then the whole storm and the whole thing takes on a different meaning. Why? Because we have the creator of the universe on our side. Who can defeat us? No one. If God is for us, who can be against us? But there's a lot of people that can be against us, they just won't succeed, right? So whether he was celebrating victory or he was in the depths of despair, like the passage we just read, he was still able to strengthen himself because he knew that wherever he was, God was still God. I ask the worship team to come up. The second reason, or when, why he was able to do that is he realized that no matter how bad the situation seemed, it could have been worse. Amen. And this is something I tell people all the time. I said, well, you know, today I could be better. But, you know, I could also be worse. So what am I? I'm thankful. Amen? Amen? As long as we realize who we are in the Lord and know without the shadow of a doubt that His Spirit lives within us and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we have a purpose and a reason for living, a purpose that He has placed upon us. Not our own plans, not our own desires, not our own ambitions. And I'm not saying those aren't important, but they pale in comparison to what God has called us to do. Because guess what? If we walk and act according to His plan and His will for us, victory is assured. Amen? You You can take that to the bank. Victory is assured. Now the enemy may think he's going to win a skirmish here and there, but at the end of the day, we emerge with the grand prize. Amen. Let's take heart this morning. And I know that if you turn on the television and listen to the news, and I heard something very interesting on one of the news channels this week, and I think it was attributed to the president of, I don't know if it was Mexico or another country, that said that even in heaven, there's immigration requirements. And I thought that was very interesting. I had never thought of that before. I had never thought of that before till I heard it on the news. But there is nothing, very hardly anything uplifting or encouraging. Gloom and doom. And vaccinated and unvaccinated, and this thing and that thing, and one group against the other, and the people on the horses and bringing reminiscences of the slave days and all that stuff. And it's easy to get into a state of discouragement and despair. But I just want to encourage you this morning that our God is still on the throne. He is still in the people shaping and people molding, life-changing business. He has not wavered. He hasn't fallen asleep. He has not grown weak and weary. He's the same God that spoke everything into existence at the beginning. So we can trust Him totally and completely that He is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He will do. So when no one else is around to encourage us, let's encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, like David did. When no one else is around to try to pull us up when we're down, let's try as hard as we can, one knee at a time, to pull ourselves up. Bible says in Psalms, a righteous man, the Proverbs, a righteous man falls 7 times but rises up again. It says, not matter how many times we fall, but how many times we get back up, dust off, and keep pressing on. Amen? Let's keep pressing on. Let's not get weighed down by the troubles and trials of today. It will probably get worse before it gets better, but I guarantee you it will get better. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the assurance that no matter what circumstances we face this morning, that you're still God. You're still in control. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You're omnipresent. From beginning to end, you are God. You are God all by yourself, Lord. You found no one greater than you, and therefore you swore by yourself and said, I am the I am. And we thank you this morning. We pray, Lord, lifting up each person in this place to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know our battles. You know our circumstances. We pray for comfort this morning where we're sorrowful, where our hearts are heavy, Lord. We pray for the comfort of your Holy Spirit. We pray this morning for healing where we're sick in body, in mind, or in spirit. Bring your healing power to our lives, Lord. We pray, Lord, for restoration this morning of broken relationships. Father, pray for our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, We pray for our church family this morning, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would just bring us closer together. Because it's your will that we live as a family, Lord. Help us to remember that we saved for a reason, Lord. And to give you the place that you so rightfully deserve in our lives. And that is first place. May your plans be our plans. May your desires be our desires. May your purpose be our purpose, Lord. And may we walk in line with what you have called us to do, Lord. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen. You are dismissed.